Hey, podcaster, meet Acast. We're the top independent podcast network for creators in the know. We empower you to develop your podcast idea, find your audience, and grow listener relationships wherever those listeners are. You'll also find a whole range of ways to make money, from membership plans for paying fans to our fully curated and creative advertising experience. Visit acast.com/network to find out more. Acast, for the stories. Hey, podcaster, meet Acast. We're the top independent podcast network for creators in the know. We empower you to develop your podcast idea, find your audience, and grow listener relationships wherever those listeners are. You'll also find a whole range of ways to make money, from membership plans for paying fans to our fully curated and creative advertising experience. Visit acast.com/network to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with me, Florence.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Oh my God, Florence, I've always wanted to have you as a guest on our podcast.
I have always wanted to be on this podcast. I listen to it every single week. I'm like the biggest fan. Are you?
Yeah.
Well, the reason we're doing this podcast today is that you lovely listeners have been also asking to hear our fuck stories.
Yeah, it's our special episode for you.
Yeah.
And we've kind of answered it a little bit on our YouTube channel, but this is direct in your ear holes for you lovely podcast listeners.
So that you can plug in, listen to us whilst you're in the bath, whilst you're on your commute. I feel like our podcasts have I feel like people here probably don't even watch our YouTube channel.
Yeah, definitely not. Although, we're nearly at 100,000 subscribers, so someone's fucking watching.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, Reed. For anyone out there that is not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please click on Come Curious at YouTube and subscribe.
All right, a little shameless plug. This whole episode is going to be shamelessly plugging ourselves with butt plugs.
With butt plugs.
Right.
I've not actually used a butt plug before.
Have you not?
No.
Not once?
No. Basically, I got a free one and it was way too big to fit in.
To be fair, I've got a big butt plug.
I tried lubing it up and sticking it in and it got like an inch in. It was so big.
Like, no more, please.
But then I was still like, having it that far in was like pleasurable enough and I came.
Oh, really?
It was just like whilst I was masturbating one time, I was like, why don't I just stick something up a bum a bit?
Was it one of the ones that like jeweled, like bedazzled, jeweled on your
No,
bum?
It was one of those really like grotesque, just black ones. That, like, really
bad
unattractive.
Silicone.
Yeah, bad silicone.
The ones that smell really bad. You're like, am I going to put this inside me?
Yeah.
What chemicals would be
around? Probably didn't
me?
Even wash it before. Shit.
Oh, shit.
You should always wash your sex toys before you use them when they're in the packaging, but I definitely don't.
I don't think I've ever once washed my sex toys.
You're always like so excited to rip them open and stick them in you.
I remember being, you know, like back in the day where you'd order it online and I swear I would nearly die in those days waiting for it to come to my mum's house and I'd be panicking and I'm like, oh my God, it's going to arrive and my mum's going to be like, so what did you get? And I was trying to think of a lie to figure out what to say, like, yeah, just bought some stuff off of eBay. No, man. Yeah, too excited. Definitely found the packaging on the floor. Anyway, this podcast is about you, Florence.
Yeah, it's about me. Who am I?
Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
My name is Florence and I have a podcast called Fucks Given. I also have a YouTube channel called Come Curious.
No.
And
no way.
On the side, I am actually a film director, which no one knows.
You know, it's a secret.
No one knows.
It's the embarrassing part of your life.
Yeah, and we also direct porn.
We do.
Yeah, and we're going to be directing a new one very soon when I go freelance, yeah. Which is really exciting. Actually, that's really exciting news. I'm going freelance. We're going to be able to put way more time into this podcast, into Come Curious. So really exciting things are going to start happening soon.
Yeah, man, shit is going down. There is so much good stuff planned. I cannot wait. We cannot wait.
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
I actually had such a good last fuck.
Oh.
It had been like a little while, like maybe even 3 weeks.
Oh,
crazy.
Shit. Whoa.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
It was on Saturday morning.
So specific.
So specific. And I literally just woke up, got out of bed, stumbled across my partner, my boyfriend, in the hallway. We had a little hug.
In the hallway as well?
Yeah, in the hallway. And we hugged each other, and you know, you just get that vibe with each other, and you're just like, we need to have sex.
We can't do this right now.
So I dragged him back to the bedroom and we fucked in the bed. And what was like special about this was that he got the doxy involved like right at the end, and I just
he did.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, which doesn't usually happen. And first of all, it was a bit scary because, you know, when you press the button down too long, it does that pulsating thing and it's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, no, just press it once. So there was a little bit of a hiccup there, but then fine, it was turned on. It was working.
That sounds amazing.
And it was just like really hot. You know, he was like in a really hot situation and he was like looking at me funny and I was just like,
funny?
What? And he was just like, it's just so hot.
Oh.
I was like, oh, this is nice. And I was like, you look hot too. I don't think he even said that. I was thinking in my head.
You look hot too.
And I just had the most tremendous orgasm. You know, when you just feel like you're so full, like, I don't know what it is about the orgasm, you just feel like you're filling up completely and everything's swelling and like contracting at once, and then suddenly you're just like, it almost, the orgasm's like pushing the penis out. It's,
oh my
that
God,
big.
yeah, your vagina's like, get off.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. Yeah, it was really good.
That does sound magical.
It was magical. Yeah. And then I don't know, it was just like really nice. And then I have this weird thing where apparently my boyfriend told me this later in the day.
And you use the like, W word.
Like the what?
The weird word.
Oh yeah, but you know, we all know what it really means.
Yeah, we're trying really hard not to use the weird word.
Nothing's weird, but it's an easy way to describe things.
Yeah, no, things are weird. Yeah. Maybe we should just abolish that.
Yeah. Yeah. what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I have a weird thing apparently where if I have sex in the morning, like clockwork, I'm horny in the evening.
Huh.
And I started feeling that actually, yeah, the more I have sex, the more horny I am and the more sex I want.
Whereas
if there's a dry spell, I'm not like gagging for it.
It must be like, you know, how men, the more they wank, the more testosterone and all the chemicals are made. It must be the same for women.
Yeah.
Because your body's just creating all those chemicals and it's like a surplus of chems and like, and it's probably also like you need to have babies now constantly. Our uterus
is
like, have babies.
Especially since I came off the pill. I've not been on the pill for a year now, and ever since, my body is just like constantly trying to get me pregnant.
Yeah,
it's like all you want is to get pregnant, Florence.
Yeah, well, that's...
But also, I have a weird fetish to do with getting pregnant.
You do,
like,
yeah.
I honestly just, like, when I'm in the act of it, I'm just like, please, come in me.
Make
like,
me
I need
fucking
it.
Pregnant. And yeah, that's dangerous
that
as well.
It's really dangerous and not very safe. Yeah.
Well,
I don't really think that everyone
sex is a
that.
Risk anyway.
It's all, I mean, sex is always a risk. Like, even if you're on the birth control pill, there is always a slight risk.
Yeah, yeah. I know two people that have had been preggers while on the pill.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like that fucking, like, what, 2%? That goddamn one
That's
little sperm
crazy.
Wiggled through and got in there.
Yeah. And you know why it's so crazy? Is that we actually are only fertile for like maybe 2 days of the month.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
even less.
Mm.
And even on the pill, that's crazy.
It blows my mind. You must have to be like, you've got to have like fucking stallion spunk and like the most fertile uterus.
Yeah.
Just for that. But I mean, it's the same with condoms. Condoms can split. They're not as safe. But obviously the pill is one of the best contraceptions out there. Yeah.
It's a weird conversation because I came off the pill for a reason. I was on it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I suddenly started feeling like I've been putting these weird hormones into my body for 10 years of my life. And there's been scientific research to say that, like, it's not good for you. Mm. There are so many side effects.
Everyone has that weird moment where they're like, oh my God, I don't know what my body is like without this.
Exactly. And it was different as well since I came off it. I turned out to be way more horny off it, which is dangerous.
That is dangerous.
Very dangerous. Yeah.
So dangerous. But then there's so much for and against research. Because I've heard so many different things about the pill and that the more you have the pill, the better it is for cervical cancer. Like, I've been recommended taking my pill packet three months in a row?
Yeah.
So not having a period, and that's better for me, especially for people with endometriosis
There was that whole thing about the gap in the pill packet, like the 7-day gap after you finish packet, being something that the Pope made them do.
Oh my God, stop.
Yeah, no, for real, that God had to see women have periods, so that was one of the reasons why you had to have a period in between each pill packet.
Fuck, man. That's mad. Like, contraception is fucking mad.
Yeah,
I cannot wait for male contraception to come out where they have to, I think it's like a pill or injection or something, and it kind of like deads their sperm for 2 days or something. Yeah. I cannot wait to speak to somebody who's going to try that.
Yeah. I just want to say as well, I only came off the pill because I am 28 and I've been with my partner for 4 years. And if I did get pregnant, it would not be the end of the world. Like, if I wouldn't have come off the pill for any other reason. And also I came off it for health reasons.
Yeah.
Because I had an underactive thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all to do with hormones. So I was just like, I just need to delete all the extra hormones in the body.
Fuck two.
The first fuck. Oh, the virginity stories. I lost my virginity when I was 15. To a boyfriend. It wasn't really that like exciting, to be honest. I feel like I've told this story so many times on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, it is the one we say a lot.
I was basically gagging for it. I was gagging for it for like, not a few years, like, I don't know. I think a few years, man.
It seems really weird. 12. Because
but then when I'm like, I can't have been horny at 12.
It feels wrong, but I think we just are. I think we are just fucking horny age of 11, 12.
I used to sit on like the phone to guys at night when I was at school, like up until like 4 a.m. just talking about sex.
Yeah.
And like there was one guy that I'd just be like, oh, so how do you finger yourself? And I was like, yeah. I mean, like, how do you masturbate? Do you insert your fingers or do you do some, like, rubby thing? And I was like, I actually said that I fingered myself because I was like, oh, no, the rubby thing's embarrassing. Like,
No one knows what that is. Yeah.
And I told you about my weird masturbation technique in another episode, so you'll have to go and find that.
Oh, yeah, it's like a little Easter egg.
Yes. But anyway, the virginity was... We basically planned it whilst my parents were away on holiday. I think they were in Paris.
Mm.
So he came over and we just got naked in my little bedroom.
How long had you been with him?
I think about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And we'd done a lot of dry humping before that. And he'd eaten me out a lot. And I hadn't really gone down on him that much. It was very one-sided.
So selfish.
And when I think back at that, I'm just like, wow, how is he so cool as to go down on me all the time? I also had a massive bush. I didn't know that people shaved down there, but he like would be happy to go down there, even though literally I would look up, when I was that age, I'd look at my vagina, my vulva area, and just be like, ew.
Yeah.
This looks so gross.
Aww.
Especially like with all the pubes. Like, I thought it was horrific when I looked in the mirror. So I was like, why the hell?
Horrific, like a massacre.
Why the hell would someone want to go down there and lick? But it felt good, so I didn't protest.
Yeah, he was a good boy.
He was a very good boy. You know what? He played the trumpet and the saxophone.
So okay, maybe, I thought you meant on your pussy.
No. So maybe that's why he was so good at oral sex,
maybe.
Because he was...
Please tell us, guys, if they do... what's it called? Wind instruments.
So the virginity story is super simple. We just slipped a condom on, mm-hmm. and he...
Smart.
Went at me for... It was a missionary.
Went at me. That's horrible.
It was very soft and tender. Okay. Very soft. Very slow. Inserting very slow. And it hurt a little bit, to be honest.
As in hurt or uncomfortable?
There was like a little bit of pain. Mm. And no bleeding or anything. Mm-hmm. And just a little bit sore. And... uncomfortable, yeah.
It's probably because we're dry as well. Like, we're so yes. nervous when we lose our virginity.
Yeah.
There's no wetness.
100%. I don't think I was wet.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just kind of... I don't think it lasted very long. And I don't even know if he came. But afterwards, even though it didn't even feel that good, I felt so accomplished.
Like, which is weird because you're not really supposed to feel like, huh, I'm a different... I'm a new person now.
I literally did, though. Like, he... Actually, the weird thing about our virginity as well is that, so we had sex there mm-hmm. on the bed, and then we were like, okay, let's get in the shower and like freshen up, and we had sex in the shower again.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like immediately. And then that was better. It felt better the second time. It felt like I'd loosened up a little bit.
Probably relaxed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Because the nerves wouldn't have been there anymore, and I was just excited to do it again.
Yeah.
Because once, you know, when you pop a Pringles jar.
Pop a Pringles can.
You just can't stop, can you? So that was like me with sex. Apart from the fact that it only ever happened those two times in that whole entire relationship, and I'm not sour about it at all.
Well, clearly not. How long were you with him afterwards?
Another 5 months.
Fucking hell. And you only had sex those two times, and then
yeah.
that was it. Fuck.
It does make me wonder, but...
I mean, that's not wrong. Maybe he just wasn't a very horny person.
I feel like I spoke about this in our previous episode, mm-hmm. or the one before that I feel like maybe I pressured him into it. And then afterwards he was like, actually, no, this isn't... I'm not ready. Because he was also a year younger than me. In the year younger.
I would love to speak to him now and find out. And find out what his thoughts were, or if it was something he wanted to do, or whether he did it and then hated it, or whether or not he's a different person now.
Fuck 3.
The best fuck.
The best time. I don't know why I had to say that in my podcast voice, introducing the segment.
You're so ready for it.
My best time was the first time with my current partner, with my boyfriend, obviously.
Loser. No, mine's the same.
Is when you like find your perfect person and you finally get to have sex, even though, I mean, we didn't really wait very long. It was on the second date.
But, slut.
But still. Hey, didn't you sleep with yours on the first
date? Yeah, man. I am self-proclaimed slut.
Yeah. Well, weirdly, I'm glad that I waited until the second date.
Are you?
Yeah, but only... I don't know what it was. It was something to do with like the respect there between us. Because after our first date, I was so ready to go back to his.
Yeah.
So ready. And the fact that he was like, no. Let's wait. It made it feel like he wasn't going to take advantage of me, and that he knew that it was going to be serious,
and
that he wanted to like take his time and like not just like do it half-heartedly when we were drunk.
Yeah, that is a good point. Having sex when you're on the first date, you are often a lot intoxicated. You kind of you want to savor the moment.
Yeah, and I think we'd spoken about sex quite a bit on the dating app and on WhatsApp beforehand.
Always.
So I think that he wanted to prepare, and so when it did actually happen, it like everything was kind of like happening right. Like he had the right music on. It was like the right mood. So we went out for like a couple of drinks before, and then went back to his. And it was just one of those moments where you get back inside the apartment and you're immediately just like making out in the middle of the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're just like, that's so thirsty for each other.
Thirsty, yeah. Like ripping each other's clothes off, like, go to the bedroom.
Literally. And then, you know, when you're kind of just like walking backwards with each other, like towards the bed area.
Yeah.
And then we were doing that and he sort of pushed me up against the wall. Mm. And I just remember being like, oh, wow.
Wow.
And then after making out against the wall, he threw me down onto the bed. Mate. And went down on me for like half an hour.
That's fucking
not
hot.
Even kidding. And usually I was used to good cunnilingus involving mm-hmm. fingers as well. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing without even using fingers. And I was just in shock. I was like, how are you like making me feel this good and not even using fingers at the same time? And I feel like it's always a keeper if the guy goes down on you, like before you even have sex and before you even do anything with him. I don't even think I went down on him the first time we had sex.
No.
That's probably why I loved it so much.
Yeah, this is perfect. I mean, there is a reason why we have been with our partners for so long.
Yeah, 100%. Like the connection, the chemistry, everything was unreal. Mm. So I feel like the first time with your partner, if you have that, it's always going to be one of your best times.
But then I do feel like I've had good times with partners that I've never seen again.
Oh yeah, 100%. I've had good fucks with other people.
You never really know.
It is, to be honest, like it is a hard decision because obviously we've had many other good fucks as well.
Mm-hmm. But luck of the draw.
I feel like when I think of best, it's like memorable as well. So it has to be like the memory of it combined with how good it felt.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know how much of the rest of that fuck I really remember. Like, it was a long time ago. It was over 4 years ago.
I was going to say, so did he penetrate?
Yes. Yeah, he did. Gagging for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did penetrate and it was amazing.
Because it isn't just about the fuck. It is literally like the whole experience, the lead up, the build up, the fuck.
I'm all about like the tension and the chemistry and the connection because that's what sex is all about. I don't know if I probably came when he was going down on me, but I don't know if I came through penetration.
It's hard.
I find it really hard to especially G-spot come.
Yeah.
Clitorally, I can come most of the time, but definitely with a toy. If I had a vibrator, 100% it's going to happen. If I'm with my fingers, sometimes it just feels a bit numb when I'm doing it with my fingers.
Oh my god, it is so hard. It's like your clitoris is not connected and you're like strumming as hard as you fucking can as well. You're like, please.
Exactly. I think it's about the fact that if you're holding a vibrator, it's not you personally touching your clitoris. Mm. And there's something about you like you moving your hand that much to make it happen, connect something in your brain, and it's like you're thinking too much about the motion to feel the pleasure.
Yeah, it is confusing because you're feeling so much down there at once. I always feel like sometimes your brain gets confused between clitoral pleasure, pleasure and penetration pleasure. And I think it also depends on where your brain's at, because sometimes you use a toy and you feel nothing.
G-spot orgasming is really hard.
It is. It takes.
I think it's really, really hard.
I feel like it for most people, I've heard that it takes almost like months and years of practice with the same partner to really get it.
Yeah.
And I never really believed that until, well, experienced it myself.
I find it
years.
So confusing as well, especially because of my first ever partner, which, like, literally I came every single time we ever fucked. We never did clitoral stimulation because I had no idea what it was back then.
That's crazy. It's so interesting how our body works.
Yeah. Crazy. I don't know whether it was because I was 18 and super, super, like, horny and, like, in that prime, like, time, or like I feel like it was just like his penis must have been like hitting exactly the right spot. It was like exactly the right angle or something. But then I think also maybe because I was so new to sex back then, I didn't have all those like preconceptions about not coming.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was an option not to come. I just thought that like all sex was supposed to be pleasurable and there was a climax at the end of it.
Yeah.
So I never like had that pressure on myself to orgasm. It just always happened. Whereas now, like, having sex with other people, there's like way more things on your mind, isn't there?
So much pressure as well.
Mm.
Pressure to perform well and to come. And if you don't come, then it's a bad fuck, which is total bullshit.
And now we're not at school. Now we're not at uni. We have way more things on our mind.
Yeah. Like life gets in the way. You're literally like having sex and you're like, oh my God, I need to do my washing. Oh fuck, I've got this literally. Work to do tomorrow.
And like the anxieties that we have as adults.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck. My worst story, I do want to say kind of negative one.
Mm-hmm. Please, we need to hear it.
Yeah, I just feel like it's good to chat about them. So I had a friend, if you can really call him that. So I met him on a dating app. I met him on OkCupid. I was a massive OkCupider. I don't know if that still exists. No one uses it. Everyone's using Hinge now.
Yeah, Hinge.
Never
Tinder.
Heard of Hinge. Back in that day. So yeah, we met on a date. So I guess there were kind of like, it was always started off on that foot. We had an okay day. He bought me a lot of drinks, got very drunk, and ended up back at his house fucking on a sofa. I was not attracted to him at all, and I knew that like as soon as he came into the bar. But he was like an easy guy to chat with, and we did have like fun.
Mm-hmm.
So drunk me was like, well, I'll fuck him because I wanted to fuck.
Yeah,
fuck I mean, that's mm-hmm. what I was doing at that time in my life. I was literally going on dates and fucking people. But then, so after that, we stayed in touch, but I made it very clear that I just wanted to be friends. I definitely said that to him like repeatedly, that look, it didn't work out like this, but I really like you as a friend, so let's like continue hanging out and doing other stuff. We didn't really hang out that much as friends, to be honest. I didn't see him that often. I'd see him out sometimes. I think we went met other friends like a couple of times. And then there was a situation where I was going to Stockholm Film Festival. I wanted to go and I didn't have anyone to go with.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, he likes films, that sort of like arty film type. So I was like, why don't I invite him?
But and he's a friend as well, which is complicated and grey area.
I thought like we'd made it very clear that we were just friends, so that would be fine, inviting him on a trip to Stockholm. But I think maybe in his mind, he was like, oh, we're going to be staying together.
Yeah.
Like, stuff could happen.
Date.
We ended up arguing so much on that trip just because we obviously both had very different ideas of what it was going to be.
That's horrible.
I can't really remember much from it. I just remember being annoyed at him, like, quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And him kind of, like, avoiding me. And like, oh, he was like, oh, I need to work. And I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to go see this film then. And like, we'd do different things in the daytime, which is just odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, this was just like a random other time. I don't know why I'm telling you this part of the story. I'm always so long-winded. But anyway, maybe like a year later or half a year later, I was working at a pub and I wanted to go out and have drinks after my shift.
Wait, so, why did you talk about Stockholm? I thought we were leading into...
I'm just like leading... I guess I'm like setting a precedent for like what our friendship was, is that we hadn't really done anything since that first time.
Mm-hmm.
But he possibly wanted to.
Yeah.
So yeah, one night I invited him and my other best friend out for drinks and we got absolutely bladdered.
Mm-hmm.
He was buying me and my friend a lot of drinks.
Already like, sus.
He was buying the drinks. Oh. I wasn't buying the drinks. He was buying the drinks. We ended up around like loads of different bars around town. Like my pub that I worked at was almost in Hove and we ended up in Kemp Town in Brighton, like which is like the complete other side. So I don't even know how we got there. I remember like blurry visions of like getting into a taxi. And the next thing I know, I wake up in the morning in my own bed in my parents' house with him on top of me with his penis inside me, fucking me. Mm-hmm.
Scum.
Yeah, so he, even though he knew that I was not interested in him sexually, and I told him repeatedly that we were just friends. He fed me enough alcohol to get me drunk enough to take me all the way back to my parents' house and dive in my bed with me.
Like, I won't even know the fucking process of like, oh yeah, I'll take you home, oh maybe I'll stay the night. Like, how manipulative.
You should never do that to a drunk young girl. I was young as well, like I was 22.
You should know if there is someone drunk, you do not fuck them.
Yeah,
it is the smart thing to do.
But it was kind of like a weird situation in the morning, because I was kind of like a bit of a deer in the headlights. Like, I didn't feel like I could push him off or say no, because I just felt like I was stuck in the situation.
That's horrible.
And that, like, the easiest thing to do was just to sort of, like, get it over and done with.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember
just
him...
make it easy so he leaves.
Yeah. I remember him leaving, and I was super embarrassed, because obviously my parents knew that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what had happened, like, from, like, getting home that night to getting into my bed. Like, I don't know what... We were allowed. I don't know what happened. I don't know what we were doing. And I just remember being really embarrassed that he was there.
That's
like, so
nasty.
Embarrassed. And then just, like, completely disgusted at myself.
Yeah.
Like, I remember sitting in my room just feeling most, like, gross.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the R word. Like, you have been forced upon.
Yeah.
And you've also not been taught properly that you're allowed to say no and you're allowed to speak up about it.
I was very confused about what had happened and, like, whether it was consensual. I was just like, what? He knew that I didn't want to fuck, but he forced himself on me, basically. And then I did actually reach out to him, I think the same day or maybe the day after, telling him that I feel like he raped me.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that I was being ridiculous and
what the fuck,
that he would never have done that, and like that I was just like making a mountain out of a
oh my
hill.
God. But even if you don't truly believe that that's happened, that's no way to react. If someone has said to you, I think you've fucked me non-consensually, you don't go, you're the one that's wrong. You would if you were the bigger person, you would literally just go, oh my fucking God, I can't believe this, I feel horrible, please let's talk about this. Like, it's like a guilty conscience.
Exactly. You wouldn't just immediately deny it.
Yeah, and blame you for
without
it as well.
Talking about it.
Ugh.
But obviously never spoke to him again after that. But he did try and hang out with my best friend again. Sending her like creepy messages.
Oh man, what creep.
He was also, I forgot to mention, quite a lot older than me. So I think I was 22 and he was 33.
Oh my God, that's quite a lot older.
Yeah.
So he should have fucking known better.
He should have known better.
Jesus Lord.
And like, he was a 33-year-old man. He was balding. And he took me back to my parents' house. Just like, how creepy is that?
I don't know what's worse though, if he had taken you back to his and the same thing had happened, or back to yours.
Yeah.
Like that, like the whole situation is fucked.
Yeah.
Ew.
I know.
I hope you've learned better. I hope you've realised your mistakes and you've learned better.
Not me, there's, him.
No. Yeah, exactly him. There is. It's never too late to admit to your mistakes and apologise to somebody if you think something went weird.
I mean,
wrong.
Obviously this was before everyone started talking about non-consensual sex. People didn't really even talk about it. It was just like, if you were raped, you were like taken from the street and like raped really horrifically.
Yeah,
it was
like
never
gang
like
rape in your mind. Yeah,
never like a friend would rape you situation.
And then all those statistics came out that most people who are raped are people that you know.
Yeah,
family, friends.
You can be raped by your boyfriend.
Yeah,
like
you can literally raped by your boyfriend. Yeah,
like, and that is still rape.
Yeah, and girls can rape boys too, and we forget about that all the time.
Yeah,
and 100%. We also forget male on male rape too.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
It's awful. Fuck number 5.
The fuck that made me. I think for me, the time that changed the game has to be when I started exploring more of like my fetishes and my kinks in the bedroom, because I feel like that's just such a life-changing thing to happen, and like get to know what really turns you on. It's just going to change your sex life forever. So my the fuck was kind of random, to be honest. So I met this guy from webcamming.
You always say it like from webcamming. That's not weird. I don't think it's
weird. I feel like personally, I felt at the time, I felt like I was doing something quite dangerous,
mm-hmm. It is dangerous,
which was probably part of the thrill for me. Yeah.
But so is meeting someone off a fucking dating app.
True. Yeah. So I did webcam like, I don't know, like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. When I was in a shitty job in London that didn't pay me very well. So obviously I needed to earn some money to pay my rent and actually afford to put food on my own plate.
Yeah. And we were living together and all webcamming together and it was fun.
Yeah. So through like living with you and our other flatmate, we were all kind of introduced to webcamming and we started it together. And it was a really fun time. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it one bit. I thought it was really good. It was sexually liberating. It was powerful. And I got some good cash from it.
Yeah, cash money.
So I met this guy who I met on webcamming, who we'd had, like, we hadn't even really done webcamming properly together. Like, he literally sat on cam with me and chatted to me about Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. We just chatted for like 2 hours and I think that was like 230 quid
easily.
In my pocket.
Yeah, nice.
And then somehow he asked me if I wanted to go on a date and I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, I think at the time I was just like, he seems really nice. Like, we spoke face to face on webcam, so I saw what he looked like.
It's probably safer because you're actually, you know, you're FaceTiming, you're Skyping each other.
Yeah.
You're actually seeing him rather than like talking to some random picture and chatting to some random person.
Yeah. And he was going to take me out on like a nice fancy date. And I was just like, why not spoil me?
Yeah.
I think it was part of that kind of webcam lifestyle is that the guys are very like, they spoil you. They're gonna spend money. They're already spending money on you. So you know that when they meet you, they're gonna spend money on you. I think that's probably part of the thrill as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like that 100%. Lavish lifestyle. 100%.
So our first date was going wine tasting, which I'd never done before. So I found that really exciting.
Did you get fucked up?
Yeah, we got quite drunk. We went to a few other places before. Like we went and then we went ended up going to Sketch.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which is obviously well lavish.
So fancy.
Yeah, and I was just like living my best life, like getting everything paid for. Loving it. But anyway, the weekend with that guy that kind of changed everything was he rented out a hotel room for us for a weekend. And he bought one of the bottles of wine that we liked from the wine tasting thing. Very special, but as well as bringing the wine, he bought the sex toys.
Hey.
Which involved a lot of kinky shit, which was like, I don't know, like chains.
Restraints?
Like restraints, that's what I meant to say. They weren't necessarily just chains. And ball gag and...
Whip?
Yeah, and a flog and a whip. And anal beads.
Hey.
And... we kind of just like went to town and experimented with everything. That was actually the weekend that I first rimmed a guy and never again. But that wasn't part of the bit that changed my life. You know
never
what?
Never again.
The most life-changing part about it for me is that I found out that I enjoyed being hit in the face.
Yeah.
He was like, do you want me to slap you? And I was like, okay.
At least you fucking asked. That's such a good move.
Yeah. And yeah, I really enjoyed that. Like, with all these things, I was getting so wet, like the wettest I've ever gotten.
Sopping.
So I was just like, fuck, this is just like, this is it. This is what really turns me on.
And it was the same time as 50 Shades, right?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Living that fantasy life.
Literally living the fantasy. And like, the fucked up part of it is the reason I was enjoying it so much is because I didn't really know who this guy was and I didn't know if I could trust him, yet I literally let him take me to a fancy hotel room and bind me up in positions that I would not have been able to get out of.
This
alone.
Could have been like a Dexter situation,
literally.
Man,
but he was also, I think I have quite a good gut, like when it comes to reading people. And he was actually just like really genuinely nice. Mm. And he seemed really trustworthy. And he was really respectful. The whole time he would always ask before doing anything. There was a lot of communication there.
That's a fucking pro, that is.
Yeah, he definitely seemed like a pro. And I think that's why it changed my life, because I kind of got an insight into that world from someone that was experienced in it, rather than like figuring it out by yourself. Because I don't know if I would ever have really done that by myself.
It's hard to do. Like, how can you do it by yourself? Yeah. Apart from go to a fetish club, and then that's just as... Yeah. Dangerous really without the communication.
Yeah, I'm glad it was with him actually that I experimented with that, because who knows, like doing it with someone else, they might have like treated it worse.
Yeah, or not known what to do properly, or pushed the boundaries too far.
Yeah.
You never really know.
But opening up that world of like new kinks and fetishes is just incredible. Like finding that one thing that super turns you on is just like the best thing in the world. Mm. And then when you go into all your other sexual encounters in the future, you can be like, I know I really enjoy this. Please do this to me.
Yeah. Well, Florence, that was a roller coaster ride of incredible sexual experiences.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking me on that journey with the podcast.
Thanks for being so honest and coming on our podcast and... You know, like, we've been wanting you on here for ages, but...
And it was a pleasure, honestly. And we are going to be having you on the podcast very soon.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
Oh, my God.
Shit is going to go down.
It's going to get real.
And brown.
Dirty. And squirty.
I like that one. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you tune into our other podcasts. I actually don't know when my podcast will be out, but it'll be soon. Just keep listening to them, obviously, forever
Just
and ever.
Keep listening and you will find it.
Yes, and if you haven't already, boring, but you need to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we are so close to hitting that 100,000 mark.
Yeah.
And we get like a little award.
We do. We want the award so much.
So
we're
bad.
Super greedy.
I'm actually just going to like jizz all over it.
Yeah.
So ready.
Oh my God. And everyone, obviously, you didn't ask me where listeners can find me.
Oh my God. Florence, where can our listeners find you?
If you do want to look at my personal Instagram, you can. It's at Florence Bark, that's B-A-R-K, and obviously follow us on Instagram at Come Curious and subscribe to this podcast and leave us a rating and review.
I was gonna say, what if I want to tweet you though? Like, I want to hit you up on Twitter.
Oh, on Twitter?
Yeah,
it's Florence Curious, at Florence Curious.
Oh shit, you're gonna be
a bit more
them.
Relevant to Come Curious. I changed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love you all. Bye.
It's been amazing. Thanks for coming. Love you. Bye.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, podcaster. Meet Acast. We're the top independent podcast network for creators in the know. We empower you to develop your podcast idea, find your audience, and grow listener relationships wherever those listeners are. You'll also find a whole range of ways to make money, from membership plans for paying fans to our fully curated and creative advertising experience. Visit acast.com/network to find out more. Acast, for the stories.